You're out of Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. Song of Solomon in the Old Testament in chapter number 8. And I want to look at a passage here, and then we'll launch from there into this lesson, understanding how to exceed each other's needs. How do we draw the net, concluding the series, applying it to our life and relationship, and begin living what we have learned? Now, a man was home, and early one morning was reading the paper in the still of the morning there at the breakfast table, and his wife came over to him and patted him on the shoulder and looked at him and smiled so nicely first thing in the morning. And then she said, "I bet you don't know what today is." And he looked at her abruptly and said, "Of course I know what today is." And then she walked off, and he began wondering, what in the world is today? He had no idea what the day was, and afraid that he had forgotten something very special. His wife was very sensitive to special, memorable days. And so he wanted to be sure to get it right. And he thought to himself, it must be her birthday. So he got to the office, he called the florist and had a dozen of just the most beautiful flowers they had available delivered to her right away. And that made him feel a little better about it, and he wasn't still quite sure what it was, but at least he had done that, you know. And then as the day was going, he thought, boy, what if it isn't her birthday? What if it's her anniversary or something, and I don't have that right? So at lunchtime, he went down to the jewelry store and picked out a beautiful, expensive bracelet and paid for that, had it delivered to her immediately, you know. And now was feeling better about whatever it was. At least he was going to be all right with it. And then finished his day at the office and was heading back home and thought, you know, I better get one more thing just in case I don't have this thing right. So he went into the store and bought a very expensive box of chocolates and had them beautifully wrapped and everything. And he pulled into the driveway, and his wife met him in the driveway. And he said, "Sweetheart, I got these for you." And he handed her those chocolates, and he had a nice car with it and everything. And she was so thankful. And she said, "Sweetheart, this is the best Groundhog's Day I have ever had." And anyway, so sometimes we put forth a lot of effort, but maybe it isn't in the right place or at the right time. And we've tried to learn in this series, what does our spouse need? And then how can we exceed in meeting that need? And we want to kind of beginning draw the net in those thoughts today. Song of Solomon chapter 8 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart and as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned." And if you study Song of Solomon, the husband and wife, a beautiful picture of love within the marriage covenant relationship. And it is described here as a fire in Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, the coals of fire. And it is the kind of love that water cannot quench. It cannot be put out. It is an ever-ending love and commitment between the husband and the wife. And that's what we desire in our marriages this morning. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3 that likewise husbands are to dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There's to be a knowledge that we're learning and applying within the marriage relationship. We learn through the series in Ephesians 5 that nevertheless let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Her need for love, his need for reverence. In the last 11 weeks, we've been studying the different needs that husbands and wives have. And as we begin to draw the net on those thoughts in this lesson, we want to look at the differences of the needs that God has made us with and how they should complement one the other. Every marriage is comprised of a man and a woman with different needs. And God's design is that those needs would complement in the marriage relationship. Now, what often happens is they conflict in the marriage relationship. And many marriages don't know how to navigate through that conflict, how to step back from their own needs and concentrate on the needs of their spouse. And so it leads to great difficulty and sometimes ultimate destruction within the relationship. But that's not the way that God intended for it to work. God knows what He's doing, and if we understand His design And if we govern the relationship accordingly, God uses it in harmony in our relationship, bringing these needs together, helping us to meet them in a way that complements the need that God gave our spouse. So how does it work? How do we understand it? And how indeed do we truly exceed from this series forward in meeting the needs of our spouse? Let's dive in our study. And first of all, we must understand initial needs. We have to understand initial needs. What was built in to the relationship? What do we have to understand concerning these needs if we're going to exceed in meeting them? Well, we first of all have to recognize the fact that they're a need. Now, the definition of need is a necessary thing or a thing that is required. And so if we're going to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse, which I think is our heart's desire in this room this morning, we have to step back and ask ourselves the question, do we interpret these needs in the life of our spouse as needs? In other words, we're never going to really roll up our sleeves and meet them as we should if we don't define them for what they truly are. If we continue to say, well, it's just kind of a thing with her, it's just kind of a thing with him, it's not really that big of a deal, then we're never going to put our all into exceeding to meet those needs. We first of all have to accept the fact that these are needs. These are a basic, necessary thing that is required in the life of my spouse. And these longings, these desires are needs that they have. My spouse is not being selfish. They're not just trying to put out their unreasonable wants. These are needs that God has hardwired in them that I need to be aware of and I need to meet. We don't argue one with another for needing oxygen, food, sleep. These are needs that without them for any length of time will die. And when we think about the marriage relationship, what we've been studying in this series, these are needs. Now, can you physically live without these needs being met? Yes. Can you have a strong marriage without these needs being met? Absolutely not. And the purpose, the heartbeat of our His Design class is to help marriages be strong, to have the ingredients necessary to have a thriving relationship. And if you desire that as I do, then these needs are a necessary thing, and we have to embrace them that way. So let's look at a couple principles about these needs. First of all, you have vowed a sacred vow to meet them. You have vowed a sacred vow to meet them. My wife and I have had the privilege of being here 5.5 years, and I think in that span I've done 35 to 40 different weddings, and it's been a joy just to see God at work in people's lives. And leading into a wedding and then at the marriage altar, a couple is learning about and then expressing a vow. And a vow is a promise to God and one to another that I'm going to be who I should be till death do us part. I have the privilege of doing a lot of marriage and family counseling, and I love it. And whenever someone is talking with me about problems and what they're going through, and I talked to a couple Thursday night, and she said, I finally told them that we needed a divorce. And I said, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. And she wanted to tell me about all the problems and her justification for it, you know. And I wanted to tell her about what the Bible said, which is when God joins two people together, nothing is to pull them apart. Nothing. So it doesn't matter what's there that could pull somebody apart. God's word says nothing is to pull them apart. God had joined them together. And evidently, I guess if God puts people together, He can keep them together. But sometimes in the marriage relationship, we get to so focusing on our problems, we stop looking at God. And now we're just convinced that these problems are insurmountable. We'll never get over them. We'll never get through them. We just got to call it quits. And God said, hey, did you forget about me? I mean, I only created the world in 6 24-hour days. You know, I mean, only parted the Red Sea. Only sent fire down from heaven. Only took care of three guys in the burning fiery furnace, you know. Took care of Jonah one time, 3 days in the belly of a whale. But hey, no problem. God can handle our problems, whatever they are. That's who God is. And so we make this vow to the Lord, and we vow to be the spouse we're supposed to be. We vow to meet these needs. And this is a promise, a covenant that we have made. Secondly, we have vowed not to have them met by somebody else. So at the marriage altar, we said, I do. I'm going to be the husband or the wife that the Lord wants me to be. We make this vow. But within that vow, we're also making a promise. We're not going to let these needs met by somebody else. We're not going to get to the point in marriage where we know we're not doing our part and we're okay with it. That's not what Christian husbands and wives do. They're not aware of needs being unmet and then just go on anyway. No. They have vowed that these would not be met by somebody else. They're going to do their part. Thirdly, you understand that your spouse deserves these from you. They're not being unreasonable to desire these things. We've only scratched the surface in many ways in this series, but we've talked about five particular needs that most husbands have, and we've talked about five particular needs that many wives have, and we've tried to learn from the Word of God, what is that need? How do we exceed in meeting it? How can we apply that to our life and to our relationship? And we must understand this morning as we begin to draw the net to the series and really striving to live it out that our spouse deserves this from us. The Bible talks about in Romans 12 the reasonable service. Sometimes when we think, you know, man, I've been going to church, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been tithing, I've been sharing my faith, I've been serving. I mean, I'm really somebody. And we kind of start thinking about, you know, God's kind of lucky to have me, you know. I mean, you know, I think God's looking down and being like, wow, you know. And then you get into God's Word, and it's like, oh, that's the reasonable service. That's like basic, baseline. And I'm not demeaning it. Praise God that we're doing well in basic things, and may we continue to grow. But I think sometimes in marriage that we get a couple of things going, and then it's like we want the whole world to stop and just applaud this good thing we have going, when in reality is it's good, but it's also deserved. This is what we promised we would do. Number next, you deserve these from your spouse. It's not wrong in this room to desire a wife who is fulfilling the things we've studied in the Scriptures, a husband who's leading according to the principles found in the Word of God. These are deserved in the context of a biblical scriptural marriage. And then we must recognize that without these needs being exceeded, your marriage will suffer. Your marriage will suffer. And that's the heartbeat. We don't want a suffering marriage. Now, there may be a marriage in our His Design class that suffers for a season. The prayer is that whenever that hard time comes, the principles of the Word of God and the teaching that we have learned will be applied and we will get through it. We don't want the marriage to suffer because we are avoiding our responsibility. So what are these initial needs? Well, let's look at the one for the wife. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sought men also to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, God has taught us in His Word, and we've studied like these past many weeks, that we are to love, that we are to dwell, that we are to grow in knowledge as it pertains to the relationship with our wife. We're to understand the relationship with her and to honor that understanding, to thank God for that understanding. And there's a lot of humor out there about nobody can understand their spouse, you know, and, you know, only two men know how to do it and neither one of them are alive or whatever, you know. And there's all these kinds of things. But as husbands, we are to strive to grow in our understanding, to become better Christians, better husbands, better fathers. As we study the Word of God and apply it to our life, that's what should be happening. I was reading this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know what the Christian life looks like? It looks like a journey where every day you take baby steps. And today, I'm a little more than I was yesterday, and a little less than I'll be tomorrow. A little less of what? Me, and a little more like what? Jesus Christ. Every day being more made, molded into the image of Jesus Christ, and less like who I truly am. And so we're growing in this process, learning and then exceeding in these needs. So what are the needs? Well, these are the five we studied in our series for her: affection, intimate conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. And we understood through this series that as husbands, we vowed that we are going to understand and then exceed in meeting these needs. And so as we look back at that, we see now a role with responsibility. Boy, she needs me to show affection, tenderness, the fact that she's special and a gift from God. Conversing with her in a way I converse with nobody else. There's a part of me that is reserved only for her. There's a depth to our conversation that only we share. There's an honesty and an openness that we have. There's a nothing kept back. The Bible says in Genesis of the first husband and wife, they were naked and not ashamed. What was the word picture there? Nothing between. Completely open, completely transparent, completely vulnerable, completely honest. The financial support. We talked about the need of provision, caring for the family. Family commitment. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the dad and the need to be the shepherd at home, the minister. We talked about the example that we are to set, and the minister and the model that we're to be on the home front. And so these are the things we've promised to understand and to meet. And we want to make sure today that we've not just attended a class and listened to some lessons, but that we begin to evaluate ourselves as husbands. How am I doing in these areas? Am I exceeding in meeting her needs in these areas? And she may have different needs. She may have a different order of priority. That's okay, but how are we doing? Understanding these initial needs and meeting them. Then understand the initial needs of a husband. We studied in Proverbs 5:19. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. We studied in Titus that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We studied in Ephesians 5 that she is to reverence her husband, and in verse 22, submitting unto her own husband as unto the Lord. And we took time in these lessons to understand that the husband has been commanded by God to be satisfied with his wife, to be ravished with her, and the wife is commanded to reverence those desires and to exceed in meeting these needs. What did we study? Well, we studied the need for sexual fulfillment. We studied the need for recreational companionship. We talked about admiration and respect. We talked about domestic support, managing and caring for the home. We talked last week about being an attractive wife. And every wife vowed at the marriage altar to understand and then meet these needs. And so there has to be an understanding of these initial needs, and there has to be an embracing of the responsibility. Okay, that's kind of the blueprint. Now I want to make sure I'm following it. I want to make sure I'm doing my part to be the spouse that God wants me to be. So we're not going to have exceeding relationships unless we have an understanding of the basics. These are the initial needs. Lord, help me to know them and then to fulfill them in my role as husband and wife. But then secondly, I want us to see an understanding of the indispensable needs. An understanding of the indispensable needs. Now, of all the basic needs that we studied in this series, there is one that trumps all the rest for each gender. We're going to look at these for a moment this morning and refer to them as these indispensable, or you could call them primary needs. And the reason we refer to them this way or categorize them this way is because when they are being met, everything else usually does okay. But when they're being neglected, everything else usually falls apart. You could call these needs a franchise player in sports. When a team acquires what they call a franchise player, it's the kind of teammate that makes everyone else on the team better. And it helps the whole team achieve its goal. Well, in the marriage relationship, when we're meeting these kinds of needs, everything else gets better because they matter so very much. And the Bible pays close attention to make sure we understand what these are. Now, what are they? Well, a lady's indispensable need is love. Love. And this is usually expressed as relational or emotional nurture. In Ephesians 5, as marriage is articulated, it is four times in that fifth chapter that husbands are commanded to love their wives. Relationally, emotionally, nurturing the relationship with their wife and showing love and deference. A woman's indispensable need is love. A man's indispensable need is reverence. Ephesians 5:33. He is to love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence means respect, showing admiration. And that's ultimately expressed in physical intimacy. So there's love and there's reverence. There's these indispensable primary needs that we have to be aware of to make sure that they are being met. And let me give you some principles about these indispensable needs that will help us concentrate where we need to put focus so that we can have exceeding relationships. First of all, they are different between the husband and the wife. Now, we spent some time all the way back, week number one, which was on September 10th, talking about this difference. And I think we've laid it out very clearly through the series that God has given every husband and every wife needs. And while your needs may not be the same as we've studied or may not equate in the same importance to you as we've studied, but you have needs. And if we brought every couple up here this morning and did a little survey and a little conversation and just some Q&A, we would discover that the husband and the wife both have needs and that they differ. That what he truly values or needs or what she truly values or needs are probably different, and that's the way that God designed it. It's designed with some differences, and we have to recognize that, or we're going to drive ourselves crazy the rest of our married years, because we're going to sense that something needs to be done, and then we're going to try to do something and it won't work. It won't have the outcome that we desire, and we'll get frustrated and we'll convince ourselves that nothing will work. When in reality is, it's not because we're putting forth an effort, we're ignorantly putting forth an effort. We're selfishly putting forth an effort. We're doing what we want and irrespective of the consideration. What does our spouse need? We've not stopped thinking about ourselves long enough to think about our spouse. What does she need? What does he need? I know what I want. And it's so easy for us to live for us. That's very natural. But it's refusing to do that and saying, but what do they need? And how do I meet that? Because that's what a Christian spouse does. So they're different, and we have to embrace the differences. Secondly, your goal then should be to abundantly meet this need. That's been the whole theme of the series. Don't just come dragging into it, barely meeting the quota. No. Let's exceed in meeting this need. You don't want your wife to kind of wonder, do you love her? You want her to be so convinced she'll never forget that you love her. You don't want your husband to kind of think, well, I think she is kind of for what I'm doing, or I think she believes in me. No. You don't want him wondering. You want him absolutely convinced that no matter what, you're right there by his side. There's an abundance in meeting this need. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. Exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse. Then, thirdly, we should focus then on our spouse and not on ourselves. And that's been a reoccurring theme through the series. If we're going to succeed, if we're going to exceed in meeting the needs, we've got to focus on our spouse, not on ourselves. Number next, your spouse then must teach you how to meet this need. Now, you know what that requires? Humility. Humility. To go to your spouse and say, sweetheart, I know you have this need, and I got to be honest with you, I don't think I'm doing a great job. And I just need your help. What do you need? And if you don't mind, how does that look? What does it sound like? Could you just give me some practical, baseline, bottom shelf advice? By the way, that's why we've done the discussion sheets. And every week, we've provided a discussion sheet so that we can help take the lesson home. Not just to give you homework, not just to give you something to do in the midst of a busy schedule, but for the purpose of saying, how does this apply to you? What does it look like at home? What does it sound like at home? What does the fulfillment of that need mean in your relationship, in the context of you and being willing to learn one from the other? Allow your spouse to teach you how to meet the need. And to do that, number next, you must be teachable and seeking to understand. You must be teachable. One of the most powerful verses when it comes to relational peace and tranquility is in Proverbs, where the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Have you ever been in a disagreement with your spouse? And I know you never have. But have you ever thought about being in a disagreement with your spouse about something and step back to think, you know what this is? It's pride. That's all it is. It's me refusing to give in. I don't have a good reason not to. In fact, it would be the biblical thing to do, but I don't want to. So I'm not. And we will waste however many minutes, hours, days, weeks, in some cases I've seen months and years, because of it. And we will never get that time back. Ever. And we can throw all kinds of stuff around as to why. But at the end of the day, the real reason is this. Pride. Pride. I just won't give in. Only by pride cometh contention. So what battles that in the marriage relationship? A teachable spirit. A humbleness. Hey, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all together. I've not arrived. I still have more to learn, and I'm not ashamed of that. And if my spouse can help me, so be it. I want a teachable spirit. Number next, these needs are exclusive to your marital vow. What does that mean? It means when you stood in marriage altar and you said, I do, till death do us part, you made a declaration that these needs were going to be met exclusively within your marriage vow. The husband cannot step out of the marriage relationship. The wife cannot step out of the marriage relationship to have these intimate emotional needs met. They have to be met within the confines of the marriage relationship. Now, we studied from week number one that there are some needs that exceed the marriage relationship that only God can meet. We can never expect our spouse to do what only God can do. No way we'll succeed in that. So God has to be in His rightful place, which is the center, Colossians 1:18. And then built around Christ is this marriage where we are meeting these needs and they are exclusive to the marriage vow. There is a ring of protection around the marriage, and both the husband and wife have vowed to stay within the safety ring. There's not going to be an exploration outside of the marriage relationship for these needs to be met. Rather, it's going to be right here in the context of him and her. It's exclusive. Number next, these needs recur frequently in your spouse's heart. You say, yeah, Brother Rule, no kidding. These needs reoccur frequently in your spouse's heart. And they do. That's why we've been learning about them and striving to exceed in meeting them. We're going to look at that a little later in this lesson. And then these needs, number next, are equal opposites. Equal opposites. Each are felt equally, but they're so different. I don't know how that can be such a big deal to her. I know. I don't understand how that can be such a big deal to him. I don't get it. I know. They're equal opposites. As passionately as you are about this particular area, he's equally as passionate about a totally different area. They're equal opposites. And because of that, number next, these needs feed each other in a cycle of selfless giving. So when he is concentrating on her and exceeding and meeting her needs, and she's concentrating on him and exceeding and meeting his needs, now you have this selfless cycle where he's living for her and she's living for him, and these needs are being met in an exceeding abundant fashion, and it's a beautiful, harmonious picture. But when that's not happening, number next, these needs can defeat each other in a cycle of withholding. When we pull back and refuse to kind of do our part, it can lead to a season of defeat because we're not willing to meet that need. So, you've got initial needs, basic. Everybody has them, and we've looked at several in this series. Then you have these indispensable primary needs, really important, outlined and emphasized in the Scriptures that we have to be aware of and we have to meet. And we have to step back as we've studied this series and consider personally, how am I going to meet the needs of my spouse from here on out? What has changed about me throughout this series? How am I different? How do I approach our marriage relationship differently? What level of effort have I now committed to bring to the marriage relationship? Can I give you an illustration to kind of draw the net on this thought, and then we'll get to the rest of it next week? You ever been to a restaurant on a hot summer day? It's kind of hard to explain that right now because I know it's a little cold outside. But just go there with me in your mind. Close your eyes. Think about hot July sun, lots of wind, lots of sand in your teeth. All right, here we go. You ever been to a restaurant on a hot day and sat down and were hungry, but 10 times more than that, were just thirsty? I mean, just needing something, so parched. And the waitress brought you the menus and so on and began small talk and then said, what would you like to drink? And you ordered, you know, iced lemonade or whatever you got, ice water, iced tea, whatever. And they gave you some time to look over the menu, and they got those drinks, and they brought them back. And I mean, before the glass hit the table, it seems you had half of it down, you know. Before you could order, I think you finished the drink, and it was so refreshing. Oh, it was just it was wonderful. You were just so thirsty and so hot. And they took a while to prepare the food, and the waitress brought the food out very, very kind, and it looked great, and you were excited to eat it. But quite honestly, you were still really thirsty, And she saw the glass empty there, but not a lot being done. So he said, man, could we get some more? And, oh, yeah, sure. And she went and got more of that iced tea or lemonade or water or whatever. And, boy, again, just enjoying that drink so much, enjoying the lunch. And sure enough, before you knew it, the glass was gone again. And it was refreshing. It was wonderful. But now, you ever been in a restaurant and kind of needing a refill at the perfect time where nobody who works there is around? I mean, they all took a smoke break at the same time or whatever, you know. And, I mean, you're willing just to go back there and get it yourself. You're so thirsty, you know. And, I mean, nobody, finally you flag someone down. It's not even your waiter, you know. But you're like, hey, can I just get a refill, you know. And at the end of the whole experience, the meal was nice. The company was nice. And the drinks tasted great. You were so thirsty. But quite honestly, you kind of left there a little disappointed because it felt like anytime you needed something, you had to flag down the help in order to get the need met. Conversely, if you've ever been in a restaurant, hot outside, really thirsty, and you came in and they greeted you and brought the menus and said, boy, we know it's a hot day. What would you like to drink? Oh, maybe they're known for some lemonade or tea or water, you know. And you order that and boom, I mean, just almost instantly it's there. And then when they come back to get the orders, there's already a refill being brought to you. And then with the meal, another refill. And then throughout the meal, several times, can I top you off? Can I take care of you? What do you need? What can I get you more of? Ever been to a restaurant like that? And you leave and the company was great, the meal was delicious, but the service was phenomenal. You never had to flag anybody down. You never had to ask anybody for anything. In fact, you had to tell them no because they kept asking so much. Now, can I ask you to think about something with me as we close? Which one describes your marriage? Does your spouse have to flag you down? Hey, remember me? Over here. Glass is empty. I need you. Is that what it's like? Does it take that to kind of wake us up, get us to look at the marriage and say, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, I got it. Here you go. Is it just a cycle of that? Or is our marriage to the point where we're observing our spouse and when we see that glass is getting down a little bit, we're topping it off. We're exceeding. We're meeting that need. And I want to encourage every husband and wife in this room, don't let this series just pass through your relationship as something else you've heard and go back to being who you were. Change. And from this day forward, lead the kind of marriage where you top each other off. It's not waiting for depletion. It's not waiting for somebody to rattle your cage so that you'll put some energy and attention in the relationship. But that inwardly you've said, I'm not going to be that person anymore. I'm not going to be so wrapped up in me that I forgot about the family that God has given me. Rather, I want to be a student of them. And I want to see where they are. And when I see that glass getting low, when I see that need surfacing, when I sense something needs to be done, I want to be Johnny on the spot. And I want to fill that thing up. And I want to keep them topped off. I don't want to get to a point of depletion. I want to live in excess, exceeding and meeting each other's needs. It's a mindset. It's an effort. It's a commitment we have to live by. Yes, understanding basic needs, but embracing these primary needs and saying, Lord, help me to be the kind of spouse that I refuse to let my spouse get empty. I want to know them, and then I want to keep these needs met abundantly. And next week, we're going to study, if we'll do that, what can God do in our marriage relationship? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for some time together this morning around your word. Lord, thank you for our class and how Suzanne and I love being a part of our His Design Connection group and the study of your word, and particularly this series of Exceed. How can we not just meet the needs of our spouse, but exceed in meeting them? And I pray that we would take all the truths that we have learned over the past 12 weeks and apply them to our lives and to our relationship. And today and next Sunday, as we draw the net, may we consider our marriage. How are we doing? Are we obedient to the commitment we made to meet the needs of our spouse? Do we know what their primary need is? And are we working to abundantly exceed in meeting that need? Help us not to get to a point of depletion. May it not be in our marriage that there has to be a plea so that help will be brought, but rather may we live one for the other. May we study our spouse. May we know their needs, and may we keep them topped off. Lord, I pray that there would be a lavish abundance in exceeding the meeting of the needs that you've brought to our attention. Bring us back next Sunday as we continue to draw this net, as we understand from your word, if we'll do that, what does it mean? And how can we fix it if we're not in that mode? And I pray that you'll teach us next week principles that will allow this series and the truths that we have learned to live on in our marriage relationship. Bless the couples and the families in our classes, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.